Last Monday, May 24th, Wyoming Catholic College graduated its 11th senior class, a truly remarkable group of young women and men. This is Dr. Jim Tonkowicz, and you're listening to the After Dinner Scholar from Wyoming Catholic College. Each year, our graduating class selects one of its members to speak on its behalf during the commencement exercises. This year, the class of 2021 chose Mr. Anthony Jones as their spokesman. In addition to graduating magna cum laude, posting the second highest grade point average in his class, Anthony founded Cowboys for Life, the college's pro-life group, and organized the first pro-life march in Lander. He was active in Wyoming politics, served as a summer intern at the Family Research Council and Heritage Foundation in Washington, D.C., and traveled to Ireland one summer to fight the legalization of abortion. Anthony was published in USA Today, defending U.S. history and the love of America from its detractors. After graduation and 2 weeks in the backcountry with his classmates, Anthony will be moving to Austin, Texas, to work with former Wyoming Catholic College president Dr. Kevin Roberts at the Texas Public Policy Foundation. A year later, he'll be attending graduate school in public policy. Here are Anthony's remarks in their entirety.
Mr. Martin, Chairman Kellogg, President Arbery, Dean Washit, thank you. I want to also extend a word of thanks to both the faculty and to you, my classmates, for looking past all the terrible puns I've made in class over the years and selecting me to give this address. It was truly an unexpected honor, and I hope to do you proud. On May 31st, 2017, we embarked on a radical journey that has led us to this moment. Why do I point to that date in particular as the start of our journey? Well, a few weeks before it, Trevor Lontine, WCC's former director of admissions, and the man who personally recruited many of us to attend this college, sent out an email to our growing class. He informed us that we had increased to 49 students, with more on the way. He also said that he had read each of our admissions essays and had come to the conclusion that, as a class, we sorely needed a slight refresher in grammar and punctuation, as he gently put it. Apparently, he wasn't the only one who thought so, as Mrs. Kaczynski went out of her way to provide extracurricular grammar review sessions our first semester. God bless her. Having completed the trivium track and written dozens of essays since then, hopefully our professors can attest that we've vastly improved and have banished dangling modifiers from our writing once and for all. But back to the story. At the end of his email, Trevor invited us to vote on a class patron saint, a fantastic idea that had been initiated by Rinju. On May 31st, it was decided that our patron would be St. Thérèse of Lisieux. Since that day, St. Thérèse has faithfully watched over our class and helped us become the tight-knit community that we are. How fitting that we have come full circle at the end of May, 4 years later, just as small springtime flowers are budding around Lander. This season of our life has flashed by so quickly. And yet the process of growth has been so rich, so challenging, so amazing. What words could I possibly use to describe all we have gone through together, the memories we've made, and the people that we've become? Like a good liberal arts student, I should begin by turning to someone much wiser than me from the Western tradition, our class patron herself, from her autobiography, Story of a Soul. Quote, "If a little flower could speak, it seems to me that it would tell us quite simply all that God has done for it, without hiding any of its gifts. It would not, under the pretext of humility, say that it was not pretty, or that it had not a sweet scent, that the sun had withered its petals, or the storm bruised its stem, if it knew that such were not the case." End quote. As little flowers that can indeed speak, we ought to follow the example of St. Therese, particularly in reflecting on our time at WCC. It is, of course, true that from our very first week of classes, we joined the ranks of the Socratic ignorant, who are at least aware of how little they know. In many ways, that awareness has only increased as we encountered new, or rather old, texts, dilemmas, ideas throughout the curriculum. My inability to confidently defend the existence of substantial forms last month in Science 402 was a humbling reminder that even in spite of what I think I've learned here, there is always something more of the depths. This is true and important to remember, but it is not St. Therese's main point. She knows that true humility consists in recognizing the reality before us. And the reality, my friends, is that the past 4 years have left us very, very blessed. Day in and day out, our professors tirelessly introduced us to the central authors of our intellectual inheritance. Now with Machiavelli, though hopefully with better intentions, we know how to open a book and enter the ancient courts of ancient men, where, received by them lovingly, we are not ashamed to speak with them and to ask them the reason for their actions. And they, in their humanity, reply. We have stepped into this tradition, and having wrestled with its big questions, especially in our theses on orations, are now a living part of it. Our general sense that we should be good Catholics, good human beings, has been refined and reinforced by our study of nature, the soul, its creator, society, the church, and how to order those things in right relation to each other. Consider how remarkably our understanding of just those three words has developed: good human being. Our time here has packed so much meaning into those words that we could have expansive conversations about what each of them mean, tying in at least half a dozen texts from this curriculum while we're at it. That's incredible. And it's just the tip of the iceberg. Another blessing that deserves to be remembered and cherished is the camaraderie we've built over the past 4 years. In a real way, we've established ourselves at the center of this community. And I don't just mean the Baldwin Building. The fact that we were able to commandeer that space and hold on to the nerd table actually points to something exceptional about us that stretches all the way back to freshman year. Intentional community has always been important to us. Think back to the moments before our very first final in fall 2017, when we all locked arms in Augur as JoFo led us in singing The Piano Man. Earlier that semester, we organized our corner of Fasadi for Color Day on short notice with a class spirit like no other. Deep down, we'll always know that we won. Or our freshman dance, when we pitted the upper class against the ghetto so successfully that another rap battle or breakdance of such grand proportions may never again grace the halls of WCC. When Rinju originally pitched the idea for the theme, he said, "It could go wrong, but we're the class that could do it right." It held true, as it has for so many of our wild projects throughout the years. We always fed our imagination by delving into the poetic depths of reality, reading and reflecting on the objective character of art with Maritain, the spousal meaning of the body with Pope St. John Paul II, the goods of our school with the Philosophical Vision Statement and John Sr., all in our precious free time, and of course, with the help of our gracious professors. We thereby collectively formed a clearer understanding of the transcendentals, the true, the good, the beautiful. But instead of drifting into idealism, we actively worked to embody them in the college community, whether by organizing Nerf wars with underclassmen, creating regular fine dining opportunities, thank you, John and Kevin, or praying the little office together in the chapel. When the pandemic sent us home during the middle of junior year, we were hit hard. The limitations of online education infringed upon our class unity and the friendships we had made. The higher they fly, the harder they fall. The old adage held true for us. It didn't help that one of the books assigned during quarantine was Dostoevsky's Crime and Punishment. Most of us were confined to reading it for hours on end in isolated rooms with low ceilings, yellow dusty wallpaper peeling off the walls, and cockroaches clacking under our tattered cots. Okay, maybe that's a slight exaggeration of the physical reality, but our souls weren't too far behind. Let's just say it's a good thing there weren't any pawnbrokers around, or axes. We missed out on a lot last spring. Being able to host the senior send-off dance, understanding the incarnation and statistical reasoning as well as we could have, and the fullness of the Junior Author Project. That could have very easily made us resentful toward the community, each other, and perhaps even ourselves. But we didn't let that happen. The temporary deprivation of the goods we held dear highlighted their true value and enlivened our genuine love for the community with renewed vigor. We channeled our frustrations into community-building efforts in spite of the abbreviated semester and looming thesis deadlines. The Portsmouth Dance, weekly Pequod happy hours, class meals, we cherished the traditions of this school and did everything we could to pass them down. When our time was cut short, nearly half our class migrated 1,500 miles to Louisiana for Thanksgiving and finals week. Thank you again to the Fontenot family for your extreme generosity. Once we made it through orations week, this past semester did not slow down. In fact, in some ways, it felt more jam-packed than ever. But we were together. And in spite of the fact that new, exciting life changes were on the horizon for all of us, there was an underlying yearning to spend quality leisure time together. That's because we love each other. It's what it means to be a part of the class of 2021. We will leave this community center today and part ways from this town we have called home for 4 wonderful years. And these mountains that surround us and this college that has formed us. But the love that unites us as the class of 2021 will always remain. The blessings we've received these past 4 years need not fade away. As Saint Therese of Lisieux insisted, a little flower doesn't put its light under a bushel or hide its gifts. It testifies to the reality of those gifts in the way it carries itself, both inside and out. And this is key. We must remember what we have received and remember that fundamentally we have received it. In our last official theology reading at Wyoming Catholic College, the encyclical Caritas in Veritate, Pope Benedict XVI explained that, quote, truth and the love which it reveals cannot be produced. They can only be received as gift. My friends, this community founded on truth has certainly revealed and inspired in us a deep love for the true, the good, and the beautiful, for one another and for God. Let us remain in an attitude of grateful receptivity to those gifts. And as every gift evokes a response, let us dedicate the rest of our lives to actively reciprocating with the same enthusiasm for sharing the good in community wherever God takes us. Saint Therese of Lisieux, Our Lady, Seat of Wisdom.
It should perhaps go without saying that Anthony Jones and his classmates will be sorely missed here in Lander. On the other hand, There remain three remarkable classes, and the new incoming freshman class, the class of 2025, will be our largest ever. What good things will God bring to the college in that group? We can only wonder and wait patiently for his blessings. For Wyoming Catholic College, this is Dr. Jim Tonkowicz.